about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy hump day, everybody. It's Wednesday. We're almost halfway through the week, or right at it. Let's check out some temperatures out here in western Oklahoma. 78 at the May Ranch up there on the Kansas-Oklahoma state line, 78 at Slapout, 77 at Eric, 76 at Weatherford, 77 at Hobart, and 78 at the capital of Harmon County, Hollis. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, looks like 76 at Canadian, 75 at McLean, Wellington, you're 78, Childress, you're 77, and Odell, 79 degrees. Gonna warm up a little bit today. All I can say is I'm glad we missed that storm that hit Oklahoma City last night. I hate it for those folks, but a lot of golf ball size hail, baseball and some softball size hails reported, so they can have all that they wanted. So anyway, they kind of taken the rain out of the forecast this weekend. Hopefully they'll put it back in. I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, we need another shot of rain. I started sowing yesterday. I know a lot of guys had already dusted in, and there was people sowing yesterday, and I bet there's drills are flying today. Just a warning, not to scare anybody or not that you even care, but yesterday while I was sowing, there's a Dr. Ferris that was on last week from Oklahoma State, Ashley. She said the second wave was coming, and I honestly seen a lot of grasshoppers flying through the straw yesterday as I was no-tilling some triticale in. So just keep an eye on what you've dusted in, and when it comes up, make sure the grasshoppers aren't eating your forage away. It doesn't take much to get them if you need to spray them, but anyway, just keep an eye on them, just a heads up. Okay, had a great time at my place yesterday. Met a lot of good people, and it was fun. And we, I bet there's some more high tunnels pop up in our area in the next year or so. So it was all good, all fun, and really informant. We had the NRCS there, the Mary Fisher, is that right? I know it's Mary, but anyway, she's from Tennessee. I know that much. She was there from the urban. She is a urban conservationist with the NRCS, the USDA, and she was really good. So anyway, any more information you guys need on high tunnels and stuff, you can call your local NRCS office in your county and see. We have people there from Texas yesterday, really nice people too, from Higgins, I believe. Anyway, so anyway, check it out if you guys want to enclose your garden. It's a good opportunity, and put more food in your house, more canning, the whole nine yards. Check it out. All right, let's see what happened in our big world of agriculture last night. Looks like Mark is kind of all over the place when I checked it a while ago. Soybean and grain futures were lower overnight as the U.S. harvest rolls on. 13% of the U.S. soybean crop was harvested as of Sunday, up from 6% a week earlier in the prior five-year average of 8%, according to the USDA. About 65% of soybeans were dropping leaves versus 44% a week earlier, an average of 57%. 14% of the U.S. corn was in the bin at the start of the week, and that's up 9% from 7 days earlier. Some 61% of the corn's mature compared with 45% a week earlier. and the average is 55% year over year. The spring wheat harvest is almost done with 96% in the bin. Rain is forecast for much of the eastern Corn Belt in the next 5 days as Tropical Storm Helene, which is expected to intensify into a hurricane. And I did get a notification on my phone about 10 minutes ago. It is now officially a hurricane. It looks like it's going to take a direct hit at the Florida Panhandle. So tomorrow, the storm surge is forecast to bring rainfall as far northwest as southern Missouri and Illinois, according to the National Weather Service, and even parts of the eastern Oklahoma. Still, the western Corn Belt, including the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, and much of Kansas will be dry, allowing farmers in those states to get after it. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 10.25 cents to 10.32 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added 270 to 323.20 a short ton, and soy oil was down 0.21 cents to 43.13 cents a pound. Corn futures lost 3 cents to 408.75 a bushel overnight. Wheat futures for December delivery in Chicago fell 1.75 to 576.25 a bushel, and Kansas City futures declined 3.25 to 567.75 a bushel. All right, here's some news out of Mexico. Mexico will import less corn as domestic production increases in 24-25 marketing year, according to the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service in a report from its Mexico City office. Corn exports to in Mexico will fall 2% year over year to 23 million metric tons. Production, meanwhile, is forecast to jump up 6% to 25 million metric tons in 2024-25. The forecast is based on higher than average precipitation and gradual recovery of reservoirs in the summer of 24, following severe and exceptional drought conditions in the previous marketing year. Mexico bought $5.39 billion worth of U.S. corn in 23, making it by far the largest importer. Japan was second at $2.07 billion. China was third at $1.63 billion, according to data from the USDA. Harvested area in the current marketing year is expected to rise 5% to 6.4 million head acres, or 15.8 million acres. Precipitation from January 1 through August 11th was 3% higher than the 30-year average. Okay. All right, let's see what's going on with the weather. Basically, it's tropical storm, or now Hurricane Helene, takes aim at Florida as it strengthens into a hurricane. According to the National Weather Service, the storm will make its way through the Caribbean and is turning north into the Gulf. Tropical storm force winds are expected tonight and through Friday morning. Hurricane force winds are expected Thursday until Thursday night. In Missouri, rainfall that may lead to flooding is expected tomorrow through Sunday. Arkansas, northwest Arkansas, things are looking a little bit drier there, expected in the weekend. So, anyway, that's what's happening there. Let's see here. I did read a report. Hang on here. Let me see this. I wanted to share this with you guys. Because of the hurricane, we got a lot, lots of cotton peanut farmers here. The USDA report notes that this is how cotton and peanuts crops were progressing across the southeast and in our area, the southern plains. It's got the report up for them. Here's a little report from the three states, Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. And the hurricane's getting ready to hit. A lot of their bowls are open and harvest has started, so this hurricane's going to really mess up things. So in Alabama, cotton bowls opening is 73%, which compares to 62% last year. Cotton harvested was only 4%. Let's see, peanuts dug are at 22%, which compares to 18% last year. Peanuts harvested were at 7%, which compares to 11% this time last year. Florida cotton bowls are opening is at 64%, which compares to 56% last year. cotton harvested was only 1%. Peanuts dug are at 31%, which and peanuts harvested was at 19%. And Georgia cotton bolls opening is 68%, which compares to 63% this time of the year. Cotton harvested is only 1%, which compares to the same thing as last year, but the five-year average is 3%. Peanuts dug are at 7%, which compares to 11% last year, and five-year average is 16%. Peanuts harvested were 3%, which compares to 4%. So I scroll on down here, and I was looking at Oklahoma cotton, and where did it go? Let's see here. Well, did I miss it? Bear with me a second here. Yep, I missed it. I'm too fast with this mouse. Probably a good thing I don't have one when I'm live on the deal. Let's see here. Bear with me a second here. This really small print. Cotton. There we go. Cotton bowls opening in Oklahoma is last year was at 52%. This year it's 41%. In Texas, 57. Is that right? Yeah, 57% last year. 47% this year. So it tells me that cotton is behind the schedule. In cotton harvested, it looks like Texas is was at 23% last year, 22% this year, and there's none harvested in Oklahoma, according to this report. And then what else we got here before we go to our first break? Sorghum. We got, anyway. Not much else going on here. All right, here we go. Winter wheat planted in Oklahoma, we're at 16%. And this year, that was 16% last year. We're at 6% this year. And in Texas, you guys were 26% last year, and you're 15% this year. So there we go. And they got some that's emerged. Do we have any? I guess in Oklahoma, they're calling 2% emerged. I don't know where that's at. Must be down south. And Texas, nothing available there. So, anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Brandon Hickey. He is, where's he at? Shawnee or Guthrie? Anyway, OYE finals is going on for the next 3 days. So, anyway, I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Brandon. His son's up there shooting at OYE. And if he can, we'll get a report from the what happened Monday and last Friday at the stockyards, because I see a lot of chaos going on social media on some of the cattle pages where they are wondering about what's happening to the slaughter cows and bulls. I guess they weren't listening last week when Brandon said that, you know, usually October, late September, October, November are usually slow times for those slaughter bulls and cows. So I'll ask him about that coming up. So let's take a Taylor Ranch break, and I'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 20th. 2,373 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 521 brought 298. 15 at 625 brought 255. 11 at 662 brought 261. 7 at 756 brought 245.50. 5 at 840 brought 204. 36 at 844 brought 239. 8 head of heifers at 410 brought 282. 13 at 523 brought 239. 4 at 545 brought 239. 15 at 579 brought 238, 6 at 698 brought 212, 14 at 862 brought 215.50, butcher cows were 5 to 140, butcher bulls brought 105 to 163, bred cows were 1400 to 2800, pairs brought 1425 to 3000, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. I bet Brandon calls me back here in just a little bit. I bet Nate's shooting. He said that the only way he'd stop from answering a phone call from me if Nate was shooting. So he must be shooting. He didn't answer. Well, let's check out the ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. Lipscomb, 79 degrees. Humidity, 36. Dew point, 50. The winds are out of the northwest at a whopping 5 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts today, 13 miles an hour. 2.68 inches of rain so far this month. The month's about over, but that's still pretty good for out there in that area. Red flag minutes today, 0.8 inch. Soil temperature, 68 degrees. It's chilled down quite a bit up there. So anyway, that's your forecast for out there in the Texas Panhandle. Okay, let's check out the Lipscomb dealerships ag market. See what's happening now. Looks like it's everywhere. Okay. December corn, 413, up 1.5. March, 432, up 1.25. Soybeans for November, 1046, up 4.5. January, 1065, up 4.75. Soybean meal for October, 32370, up 10 cents. December, 32580, down 10. Soybean oil, October 44.27, down 32. December 43.99, down 65. Wheat, hard red type. December 577, up 6.5. And it's up 6.5 for March, too, at 591. Looks like oil out of West Texas, November 69.76, down 180, back down below that 70 mark. And natural gas still climbing steadily. It's just steadily climbing. October, 262. Looks good. The NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P are all in the red slightly. Not a big, big disaster. But anyway, they're down a little bit. Let's check out the cattle market, the meats. Live cattle, October, 183, down 20. December, 184, 27, down 12. There, it changed on me. Sorry. When you hear me hesitate, my computer's or the market's changing. September, no, October, feeders, 246.10 down 30. I'm sorry, up 30. November's 244.20 up 80. Lean hogs, October 82.32 up 20. December 74.65 down 32. Anyway, hey, if you guys want to and you got some hay for sale, I'm sorry I scheduled a show on the road yesterday on Hay Day Tuesdays, but if you want to give it a go today, sponsored by the Great Plains Bank, we will. Just text in what kind of hay, how much per ton or per bale, tested or not tested, load or can't load, and your number in what area. Are you from Woodward County? Are you from Harmon County? Wherever. That'll save a lot of questions if somebody from Hollis is looking for hay and they don't want to go to Woodward. How's that make sense? Anyway, if you want to go ahead and do that, we'll go ahead and do it today. I promise you, I'll try not to schedule any more events on Tuesday so we can have Hay Day Tuesday. Just keep sending it in. It's free. Great Plains Bank is paying for you some free advertising in here. And I'm also posting it on my show load after the show, so it'll be on there too. And so anyway, free advertising. It takes time, guys. It's really not the best buying time of the year for hay, but it's coming. It's weeks away, so just get them on there. Somebody's looking for some hay. I know there's some farmer out there that didn't buy his hay enough hay, how's that, for the winter. And when things slow down, they get their wheat sowed and everything, they're going to go, oh, crap, I need a couple hundred more bales of hay. So, anyway, a couple things coming up in our schedule on Paragon TV. Merritt will be at Cashin the 27th at 7 o'clock. So, you can find that on ParagonTV.com. And then the 27th, also at 7 o'clock, Cash will be here at Elk City at Big Elk Stadium. And we'll have that on BigElkTV.com. So, just some things coming up you need to know about. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Let's see here. I seen this from Texas A&M University. They give out a tip every week in an email, and this one kind of caught my attention because it doesn't matter whether it's medicine, chemicals, or whatever, product labels are always changing. So here's their tip. Product labels can and do change, so it's important to double-check the label before using a product. For example, over the last 2 years, the product labels and use guidelines for several growth implants have changed. Any implants that contain the antibiotic Tylan now require a prescription for purchase. Other changes relate to animal age class and re-implementation. A FDA document titled FDA provides a list of currently approved and currently marketed implants available by beef cattle target animal class, which clarifies the approved conditions of use regarding use in a re-implantation program. Can access online for more information. So anyway, that's just their tip of the week. I know a lot of guys use implants, but anyway, check your product label. Not everybody is an Einstein. You cannot outguess what's going on. So just read your labels or call a professional that does know if you have any doubt. Anyway, because I know there's a lot of farm veterinarians out there that didn't go to college. I know a few of them. So anyway, some of them are pretty good, actually. But you don't have a license to practice. Anyway, so, all right, Taylor Ranch. Today is Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. All cattle are not the same, just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you the mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarter, halves, and whole beef. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free. Also available, 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Okay, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we'll have more news and what's going on in our world of agriculture. I'm trying to think of it. I got another somewhere. Hang on here a second. Bear with me. See if my brain can think in 10 seconds. Probably not. Anyway, let's use Jaden's deal from Tradio. I've seen some really cool answers. So I have another coupon here for 66 to go for a free combo meal. Fries, burger, and drink. And this is at 66 to go right out here west of town by Hutch's West Side. So 45% of people do this with a toothbrush. So the third person to text in the correct answer. And I don't even know what the answer is. Let's just say the third person to text in with an answer is with your name. I'll give you a free coupon to go get you a combo meal at 66 to go. The question is, 45% of people do this with toothbrush. You ought to have seen some of the answers I've seen. I'll discuss them later with you after this Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. Alignment is very important. I mean, it causes the wear on your tires. So if you just let it go, the tires, instead of saying a 60,000 miles, will only last 30 or 40,000. It's called toe. It's where the tires are pigeon-toed. They're turned in, they're turned out. One may be one way, one may be the other. We always shake down the front end to make sure there's no loose parts because our roads are so nice and smooth out here that they do get some parts that wear out a little quicker. Uneven wear, edge wear, and shaking. Rough roads, potholes, constructions, and riding in the country. It all is tough on your vehicle. We have a gentleman who's been here nearly 11 years. Very knowledgeable, knows what's going on. We probably average 5 alignments a day. Something, honestly, needs to probably be done every year. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 42 registered age advantage bulls. Also, an elite group of 17 registered heifers and over 100 bred commercial heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the first Monday in October. The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
When it comes time to put your hard-earned money toward a new vehicle, count on Lipscomb Dealerships to give you a better value and car buying experience with friendly, no-pressure sales and quality service backed by a half century of experience. Save more in the country at our 7 dealerships across Texoma with over 1,000 Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford vehicles, plus KTMs and Can-Ams, always on sale at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people, great deals, family-owned since 1979.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Again, I have a little question going on. 45% of people do this with a toothbrush. What is it? Anyway, I got a free combo meal out here to 66 to go. Matter of fact, I had the fish the other day, and it was good. It was good, good. So anyway, I had fish out there the other day. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much. All right, let's check out some weather up in northwestern Oklahoma, some ag weather, that is. Cherokee, it's been a long, it's been months since I talked about Cherokee. 77 degrees, dew points 54, humidity's 44, winds are out of the north at 5 miles an hour, 10-day rain total 1.82 inches, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 70 degrees, sunset at 7:26, sunny and high of 84. 53 for low, 84 tomorrow. Same weather as today as tomorrow. Anyway, bet the drills are rolling. Anyway, good thing for going on there. Okay, so this is out of my territory, or out of my usual territory. I got a big territory. Anyway, I swear I try not to talk politics, but I'm going to pick on both candidates. I promise you. I'm not going to favor one over the other. I'm just going to talk about it. But this one here, in I got in my beef email this morning, Beef Daily. Anyway, kind of caught me off guard, but after after I read it a little bit, I can understand a little bit of it. But former President Donald Trump says he will impose 200% tariffs on John Deere. And the former president also says he will make China buy $50 million worth of U.S. ag products. Donald Trump is threatening to impose 200% tariffs on John Deere if it follows through with its plans to move some manufacturing jobs to Mexico. His unexpected remarks come from a Monday campaign stop in Smithton, Pennsylvania. The event was billed as a farmer roundtable featuring pro-Trump lawmakers and producers. In the middle of his nearly 75 minutes on stage, former President Trump paused to say he just noticed the John Deere tractors serving as his backdrop. He then warned the company about shifting jobs to Mexico. "I'm just notifying John Deere right now that if you do that, we're putting a 200% tariff on everything you want to sell in the U.S. The Republican presidential nominee vowed to impose similar tariffs on other companies if they move manufacturing operations out of this country. If he wins, Trump said he expects Deere to reverse its decision. The former president added that he liked John Deere and buys a lot of their products. He did not elaborate on what products he buys and how he uses them. Let me help this story writer out a little bit. He's got a bunch of golf courses, and I'm pretty sure he buys a lot of machinery for those golf courses. And Trump Tower in New York, you don't need no John Deere's down there unless it's scraping snow off the sidewalk. So I'll help him out with that story a little bit of common sense there. So far, John Deere has not publicly responded to Trump's remarks. When asked to comment, company officials pointed to previous public statements where they say highlight the company's commitment to the U.S. Deere says it has invested more than $2 billion in American factories. The company contends that in order to position its U.S. factories to undertake highly value-added activities, it's sometimes necessary to move less complex operations to other locations. In June, the company announced plans to relocate some manufacturing jobs from Iowa to Mexico by the end of 2026. John Deere also laid off several hundred employees in Iowa and Illinois this year. And on to China here. Let's see what Mr. Trump says. During the same campaign event, Trump promised to make China buy 50 billion, it said million up there, but 50 billion in ag products. The former president said, if elected, his first call will be to the Chinese president and telling him to live up to the deal he agreed to during the Trump time in the office. In 2019, Trump and the China president brokered a deal to end the escalating trade war between the two nations. At the time, Trump claimed China agreed to purchase $50 billion in U.S. ag goods. Chinese officials have never publicly confirmed if they agreed to that number. In 2020, Trump's last full year in office, ag exports to China stood at $26.4 billion. According to the U.S. Census Bureau trade data, China ag export hit a record $38.1 billion in 2022 and $29.1 billion in 2023. There you have it. There's your political statement story of the day. Like I said, I hate it because it's out of my deal. So let's see here. What else is going on? Oh, I found this too. The Colombian government recently lifted its ban on U.S. beef originating from a total of 14 states in which the U.S. bird flu had been detected in dairy cows since April. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and Chief Executive Officer Dan Hallstrom says the development came after a tireless work from the USDA and the U.S. Trade Representative officials. The reality is that science was on our side, and ultimately that prevailed, Hallstrom said. It wasn't easy, but kudos to our government for staying with it and getting us back into full access. Prior to the restrictions being put in place in April, the USMEF says Colombia was a promising market for U.S. beef, averaging about $3 million per month in U.S. beef purchases. In July, the most recent month of which data is available, exports fell to less than $850,000 as a result of that closure. On behalf of the USMEF's membership, I want to thank the U.S. government, especially teams from the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, the Foreign Agriculture Service, and the Food Safety Inspection Service involved in effort to restore full access for U.S. beef shipments to Colombia. There you go. Some more of that. A little bit of good news in there. All right, let's go to the Today in Ag text line and see what kind of craziness I've got going on it. Well, the one that caught my attention from this morning on Tradio was accidentally put Preparation H on their toothbrush. So, who does that? Who even has that near their toothpaste? Anyway, gag their self on accident. I've heard my wife yell. Anyway, clean grout and bathtub sink. Is that before or after you brush your teeth? Clean their gun action. I go with that. I've done that with the used toothbrushes. And then use something besides toothpaste. That was my winner, by the way. Keith Hart, I'll notify you here. And then the user, decide what they're going to have for dinner. What? Anyway, excuse me, I had to sneeze. Brush with shampoo or other products. Or just chew on it. Anyway, decide what they're going to have for dinner with a toothbrush. I don't know. I don't get that one. Must have missed. I got a word missing there or something. I can't even make that out on there. So anyway, you guys are funny. Accidentally put swallow toothpaste. Anybody ever swallow toothpaste? The whole deal? Broke the toothbrush. Brushing your teeth. That's getting her down pretty hard. All right, we're going to go ahead and go to a Taylor Ranch break. And when I come back, we'll have some more ag news. Also, I've got one person on here that's got some hay for sale. So if you're looking for hay or needing to sell hay, 580-225-9697. Shoot me a text. And if you can't text on your phone, just call into the studio here. Maybe one of the girls will bring that information up to me. All right. And so anyway, I need to know what kind of hay you're selling, how much you're selling it for, and what else is there? Can you load by the ton or by the bale? Remember that. Or by the pound. Or by the bale or by the ton. And where's it at? Is it tested or not tested? Pretty simple. And I need a phone number. So I got one here waiting from Delhi. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back after this Taylor Ranch break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on your
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on your
or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on your
maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
If you'd like to tackle those home projects yourself, like building a privacy fence or spicing up the place with some landscaping, you'll need the right tools to get the job done fast. Rent what you need from DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City. They have gas-powered post hole diggers for fence building, skid steers for hauling landscape blocks, and excavators for any type of digging that needs to be done. The best thing about DJs is the free advice. Stop by and talk to them about your next project.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more. So go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here. I'm speaking with Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent, what's going on this time of year at SEI?
Well, Ron, we are booking seed for fall pasture. We have triticale, rye, hairy vetch, and radishes, which will make great pasture for this winter. And we also have winter cattle cube contracts available.
Thank you, Kent. For more information, give Kent a call, 580-225-0317. SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back. Let's see here. All right, let's do our Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather forecast for southwestern Oklahoma. Let's check out what's happening at Mangum. 81 degrees, dew points 53, humidity's 37, winds are out of the north-northeast, 6 miles an hour, 10-day rain total, 36 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare. Soil temperature 78. Sunset at 7:30. Today, sunny, 86 degrees. Clear, 55 tonight. 86 and sunny tomorrow. All right, let's see here. What's more important that we got going on here? I wanted to discuss this with you because this is very important to our farming. One of the biggest questions asked is by farmers on rented ground, besides when is rent due and can I pay you next year kind of stuff, how can they improve the P and K on rental ground? Well, the four R's of fertility: the right product, the right rate, the right time, and the right place. A farmer in Minnesota rented some new ground this year and sent his soil sample test results in to Ken Ferry asking how to improve upon the nutrient levels and improve crop performance. Here are some of the primary questions the grower asked and how Ferry Farm Journal field agronomist responded. Some light editing has been done for clarification so we can all understand it. I know how it is. I picked up the question here. Here's from the farmer. I picked up some new ground this year, and I did a soil test on it last fall. As you can see from the soil test results here, it's very low on P and K levels and high soil pH. The calcium and magnesium levels are high. Do you think these ratios work against getting plants to uptake phosphorus and potassium? I plan to ban P and K since this is rented ground. Is there something else that I can do to improve soil life? This, in your opinion. Well, here's Ken Ferry's answer. There's not a lot of information we know about this piece of rental ground beyond what you've mentioned, but based on your soil test results and the four R's of fertility, I think you're on the right track. My short answer is I'd recommend banning your phosphorus and potassium and then broadcast some additional potassium because I think you'll be able to build a potassium value in that soil test. Here are some of the additional thoughts Ferry shares to support his recommendations. With the 8.2 soil pH level you're working with, it's really unlikely you'll be able to raise the P value per se. I recommend that you band all your phosphate and do that more on a yearly basis. I think this will give you better results. In most scenarios I see here in Illinois, phosphate levels go up fairly easy and come down slowly. But in your case, all the phosphates end being fixed to calcium. That's why I think you'd be better off to apply all your phosphate in the spring in a band. I see you running the Olsen test, but even if you use the Bray 1 or Bray 2 test, they will show you you've got a lot of phosphorus tied up with all that calcium that's in the soil. It's nothing you've done. It's just the result of where the ground is located in the soil type there. I think you also may want to increase your potassium applications as your potash value is low. I would ban my potash initially and then broadcast higher amounts of K because I think you'll be able to build a potassium value that you'll see in a soil test. The potash value will go up over time if you apply more potash to the system. Do keep in mind that the potash levels are usually slow to go up and fast to come down, just the opposite of phosphorus. I don't know how much canola, oats, or wheat as far as micronutrients go. My suggestion would be that you look at some tissue samples during the growing season this year to make sure your zinc, sulfur, and boron levels are where you need them to be. You do have a decent level of sulfur in the soil, which is a bit surprising, but that might simply be a reflection of the soil makeup in your area, meaning that it's probably what we would call a younger soil compared to, let's say, the soil types in southern Illinois. Sulfur may not be an issue for you, but I would likely be adding some sulfur to the mix. Sulfur is a tough one to test for, I'm going to assume, which we all know, which means that you're checking for sulfate levels in the soil. This can be a lot of nitrates, high during one part of the year and low the next part. So a sulfur reading on soil tests doesn't mean that much. I would like to be, I would likely be making a sulfur application on that wheat as well as the canola. So it sounds like he's growing in there. Well, as you guys remember, let's see here. Where's Ashley, Dr. Ashley Ferris? So anyway, the other day when Dr. Ferris was on my show, she had, Jimmy Rhodes had texted in, the cotton king, former cattle king, and asked about sulfur in insects. And Dr. Ferris texted this to me last night. She called Jimmy, I guess, and told him. So Jimmy's question was, does sulfur help with killing of insects? Yes. Sulfur kills insects, which we know because it's used in insecticides. He gave me a call later clarifying that he is curious how sulfur kills the insects. So she said, I did some research this weekend, and it looks like sulfur kills insects by disrupting their ability to function and by disrupting their ability to use energy. So it's a cellular respiratory, at the cellular respiratory level. So there you go. One of the more intelligent questions has come out of the Cotton King. But anyway, she would also wants me to remind you guys that coming up October 3rd over at Hydro. Yep, at the north, right there north of Hydro. I can't even remember how to pronounce her name. I'm sorry. I'm not very good at Chance. So Chance Family Farm Multi-Crop Field Day is on October 3rd. Peanut hull blasting, so growers can get a harvest timeline. And also they got some other stuff going on that's available. 2 CEUs and 2.5 CCA credits available. Talks by OSU Extension Specialists, USDA scientists, and industrial personnel on cotton, peanuts, corn, and even a drone demonstration related to precision ag work. And that is all coming up next week at Hydro, October 3rd. I bet if you just call your OSU Extension person or Extension educator, not necessarily just person, and call the, or just get on Facebook or the website, I bet you if you tag on events, that one will pop up. That's coming up. So if you need some CEUs, it'd be a good time to go over and get them. So, and check out some peanuts and cotton. And also, they got stuff going on. Corn, drone. Yeah, check out the drone deal. Okay. So, I caught this on AgWeb. And I wanted to share it with you because I know it, not everybody reads their daily emails every day. But anyway, we got in the annals of clashes between government control versus private property rights, Michael Ballard's story is a standalone. Ballard faces $120,000 plus in fines for allowing his farm manager to live on his California farm. Well, you guys here in California, you already know where this is going. But anyway, he let Mr. Martinez, a 23-year-old career employee, live on a site in a trailer in Santa Clara County. County officials reacted with a blitz of code violations. Get this. This guy is living in a travel trailer. I think it's a travel. Might be a mobile home. On this guy's property and working for him. So, yet the same officials permit thousands of homeless to reside in tents, shanties, and RV across the county without penalty. Bottom line, and this is a vineyard, a grape vineyard. Bottom line, according to the county, if Martinez lives homeless on the streets and commutes to work on the farm, no problem. However, if he resides on the farm in a trailer that he works at, even out of sight from public roads and neighboring properties, the action is illegal and deserves some big fines. At one time, it was $1,000 a day fine. He said, I'm fighting the county, and I never listen to power crazy bureaucrats that tell me I have to kick a family off of my place. Never. I want the public to know the shocking details and see extreme justice by our injustice by our own government. In 1996, Michelle and Kelly bought this Savannah vineyards in East Central California outside of Saratoga. 60 acres of beautiful overlay redwoods and rolling hills. And so they went down to $100 a day in fine, but he's not paying none of them. He's fighting them all the way, bullfrogs and shotguns. He said, I'm taking it to the hill. So anyway, man, what is our world coming to? As of right now, he owes $365,000. Anyway, remember that when you let somebody live on your farm. So anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma.